This podcast is brought to you by VC Finance Group.
Welcome to the English Football Show right here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your home of football in Australia and around the world. I'm Christopher Chrysostomou, and with me we have Braden May, Tim Spiliotis, no Mitch Keating here today. He's away. Apparently he's going for the job at Aston Villa.
Oh, very surprising. Thierry Henry, Dwight Yorks.
And Mitch Keating.
I know who I would go for, Mitch Keating.
We've got a big show today. We'll kick it off with the Premier League and we'll review the match of the round, which was Liverpool taking on Man City. Last week, we had our tips and we all expected a high-scoring game. And then I said, imagine if I picked a nil or a draw. And that's what happened in the end. It was the run result we didn't expect to happen, but a nil or draw. Both teams remain top of the table with Man City only above Liverpool on goal difference.
The only high-flying thing was Riyad Mahrez's penalty.
Well, he's missed five of his last eight penalties, so it's not a surprise that he missed that.
Oh, it was still a terrible penalty. You should at least hit the target from the penalty spot. But, yeah, unfortunately, it didn't live up to expectations. There was very few clear-cut chances, I thought, Tim. Salah had probably Liverpool's best chance, I would say, where he blazed it over the bar.
Yeah, fairly even game. I predicted, I think, a 2-all or 3-all draw.
3-all draw.
Yeah, so 0-0. It's gone completely against with what I predicted, but...
But we saw something different with Man City this week compared to every other week, and that's they sat deeper because they feared the Liverpool counter-attack. And we saw that last year in their Champions League matches, and even the one match they did lose to Liverpool, that Liverpool can break, and they're probably one of the only teams in the world that can match Man City. And they did sit back a lot more. And even Liverpool, they played Joe Gomez at right-back instead of Trent Alexander-Arnold. Both teams were, I wouldn't say feared each other, but they both counted each other. And that's what we saw, and that's how we saw the nil-all draw.
Yeah, and that's probably why. You can't blame each manager, Guardiola and Klopp, for being cautious in some aspect, especially when both sides have been able to score bags of goals so far this season.
Well, they're two of the best teams in the Premier League this season, so you can't really complain. But maybe the next matchup we'll see a high-scoring game.
And Gary Neville said after the match that Liverpool looked tired, and that was because they played Chelsea and then Napoli and then this Man City game. Do you think that that's a reason why that they might have sat back a bit more and not attacked as much because they were tired from the big games that they've played recently?
Well, they're winless in their last four starts, but they're still top of the league. I think that's a positive for Liverpool supporters. Well, obviously now there's three teams tied on 20 points with Arsenal only 2 points behind. So we're getting an interesting title race. We already said Liverpool and Man City would virtually run away with it and be a two-horse race, but Chelsea's still up there. They've shown glimpses. They look good and then they look cold at sometimes. But I think just the early, they needed another break. And Klopp made it clear he's not happy with another international break. Labelling the Nations League as senseless.
What about, Gary Neville also said after the game that he believes that they should prioritise the Premier League this season. Do you think Liverpool should do that, prioritise winning the league? Because they haven't won it for nearly 30 years.
Go after what you can.
Yeah, I think they should, but they should take every competition seriously. I mean, it's a trophy at the end, and you want to win as many as possible.
And City, on the other hand, they haven't won at Anfield in 14 years. Aguero has never scored at Anfield, so it's one of the stadiums that they do not like playing at.
But do many sides honestly like playing at Anfield?
Oh, I would say probably Norwich City or one of those teams that seem to always find a result there.
Liverpool do as well. Yeah. They like playing at Anfield.
opposition club. It's not an easy place to go. The atmosphere, well, the City fans gave it to the Liverpool supporters for their lack of atmosphere. There was a video that emerged in the past 24 hours, which was pretty funny. But I still think Liverpool will be happy with a point. Man City will be happy with a point away from home. They didn't drop points. They didn't fall behind. And we'll see where they go following the international break.
A team that did win on the weekend just won their match. Manchester United, 3-2 victory over Newcastle United. They were 2-0 down after 10 minutes. Eric Bailly was subbed off in the 19th minute. But it all changed in the second half. Alexis Sanchez, the man who reports last week merged that he might never play again for Manchester United, scored the winner.
It's amazing what happens in the space of a couple of days. How he pushes Anthony Martial virtually out of the way. He didn't mean it. It was just to get his balance. He pushed Martial out of the way. Pogba dominant in midfield again. Juan Mata, once again, underlining his importance to Manchester United. And remember when Mourinho first arrived, Mata was a dead man, apparently. Dead man walking. And now he's almost one of the most important players, even though he doesn't start week in, week out.
What about United? They were very fortunate to win that game. They could have been 4-0 down in the first half. There was a penalty that should have been given against Ashley Young for handball. There was also a penalty late on in that first half that should have been awarded to Manchester United for a handball. But that decision, there was also a free header later on when it was 2-2. I think it was Diame had a free header from a corner, which he missed. So they were very lucky to get a result in this game.
Well, the two goals that they did concede were hopeless. Matic caught on the ball for one of them, I believe. And then even De Gea, like, if you want to get real technical, Muto virtually put that straight down the middle and went straight past.
Well, he used his feet.
And he's usually very good with his feet. I'm not going to question his ability because it'll prove a point next week that he's the best in the world for a reason.
Mourinho said after the game that there's an agenda, a manhunt against him and his club. Do you believe that there is a manhunt against Jose Mourinho?
Jose Mourinho gets blamed for the rain, apparently, in London. He's a very, very strange man.
Well, he said he's the reason for Brexit. He's been blamed for that as well.
I think he brings it upon himself sometimes. Like, just the players performed admirably. Like, people going, oh, they're not playing for the manager. They played for pride. They played for the shirt. Even if he has lost the dressing room, they're not going to just fall away and get beaten 5-0 by Newcastle. But he still attacked his players after the game, especially Marcus Rashford, who he labelled as sad, and Scott McTominay as scared on the pitch in the first 45. Rashford, I don't know what happened. He needs to learn how to head the ball. He missed two clear-cut headers that he should have put away. But I wouldn't say there's a manhunt, but he just brings it upon himself with silly comments.
He's used to so much success, so now that Man United are struggling a bit, he's maybe not used to it.
I think there is a little bit of a manhunt in the media against Jose Mourinho, especially when he rocked up to English football and labelled himself the special one, plus all the attacks he's had against the media and also legends such as Arsene Wenger. I think, and I know that there's some podcasts out there where the journalists have even said that they're happy to see him fail this year at United because of all the stuff that he's said in years prior. So I do feel like there is slightly an agenda towards him. But as you said, it's all his reasoning, or reasoning because of the way that he's acted in years prior and also the way that he continues to attack his team as well as the media.
Yeah, I think if he was a bit more positive in the media, like a Guardiola or a Klopp, when they say things that are a bit controversial, they almost get swept under the carpet in some ways because they say it. It's a one-off thing, but Mourinho always has something negative to say. He's always blaming someone.
And always, Manchester United sells papers, so whenever there's an issue at Manchester United, they're going to report it or they're going to make stories up about United.
Well, exactly. Like, there was he said that he got a text from a board member and it was one line, and media outlets actually sold it still.
Yeah, that's the problem over there. Do you think that this one win allows Mourinho to stay at the club? Does it change anything?
Well, we spoke off air before, Chris, and the run of fixtures to come is ridiculous. Well, they've got to play everyone eventually, but Tim, they come back from the international break, they travel to Stamford Bridge, then they play Juventus, then Everton, and then there might be another Champions League game. But
yeah,
then
they play
Everton,
Juventus again,
and then Manchester City.
Well, you never know. I mean, the international break could do wonders for them. They might come back and be the best team in the league. You never know.
Well, if that one result does change the way that his appointment at the club, if that one result is the reason why he remains at the club, then that board and the owners are dumber than what we think they are. Because you cannot change your verdict after one result.
And the problem is he had to attack in the second half and he's just too stubborn to change his way. He won't even free him up. And I know we go on and on, we want to see United attack, but he's just got that much quality on paper in the final third. I don't know why he doesn't loosen up. And it's eventually going to cost him his job eventually, you would think. But Mourinho, he keeps saying he's got the backing of the board. There's mixed reports out of the UK every week saying something different. Who knows? Mourinho might use the bathroom and there'll be a new story on it this week.
We could talk about United all day, but we're not going to. We're going to switch over to Gylfi Sigurdsson and Everton. Man who... big transfer to Everton last season, and he didn't live up to expectations. But this year, he's set the Premier League alight, I would say, playing in his CAM position, attacking midfield position. He scored a cracking goal on the weekend, arguably the goal of the season.
Oh, easily so far. That was unbelievable.
But even that, he's now scored 4 goals and 1 assist and had 1 assist this season. Last year, he had 4 goals and 3 assists all season.
Yeah, that's a stat I was just going to come out with, Chris. But thank you. Yeah, well, I think just the change of management. Marco Silva's, we saw it at Watford in the early stage of last season. They were playing with a bit more free-flowing football. And Sigurdsson at Swansea, we saw the talent. But again, they were a side that battled away, toiled in the relegation zone. So they were often backs against the wall. But playing in a better side, he's now thriving. He's unbelievable talent.
I think it's because he's playing in his better position as an attacking midfielder. Last year, he was playing either on the left or the right. But he's the top player that's where you want him to play. He doesn't have the pace. He's not going to go past the player. You want him to be in that central midfield position and creating, and that's what he's doing. And when you've got Bernard and you've also got Richarlison up front, it's got some pace there, which is enabling him to play his best football.
Well, why he did score that cracking goal, I'm quickly just going to touch on Bernard. Unbelievable signing. He was the best player on the pitch for Everton on the weekend.
That was his first start for Everton as well.
Free transfer. That could be the deal of the season. He looks a real talent.
Yep. And he's now scored 50 goals in the Premier League, Gylfi Sigurdsson. So he's been a really good player over the years.
More than a solid return for a midfielder, I would say. Especially a guy that started at Tottenham.
No, he started at Swansea, then went to Tottenham, then went back to Swansea.
So a guy that's moved clubs, played in the lower tier type club, so I'd be more than happy with that personally.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, 4 goals in 8 games. Last season he had 4 goals in 27, so it's raised his value as well. And maybe we'll see him at an even bigger club.
A man who has announced his retirement in recent days, John Terry, announced his retirement from football after being a Chelsea legend, then playing for Aston Villa last season. He played over 700 games for Chelsea, won 5 Premier League trophies.
Yeah, like a Europa League trophy.
It will go down as one of the greatest players of all time. That's what we're going to talk about now. Do you think he's one of Chelsea's greatest players?
Oh, he's probably in the top 5. I wouldn't say he's the greatest. Frank Lampard, Gianfranco Zola, just to name a few. Like, even Didier Drogba might even push you. Like, the defenders don't get the names like the attackers do because they don't write the headlines.
I think he's probably their greatest ever captain, leader.
Yeah, from what we've seen in our day, it was great. Like, he's obviously had his off-field issues and things like that, but we're not here to talk about that. But it's good to see I think it's good that there was rumours linking him with a move to Anzhi in Russia. So one final payday, but he's just sort of had enough, and now he's been linked to a job that we'll speak about very shortly.
Yeah, so 717 games for Chelsea, 78 appearances for England, 2005 Professional Football Association Player of the Season, plus 5 Premier League titles, 4 FA Cups, 3 League Cups. He wasn't part of the Champions League team that in 2012 because he was suspended in the match against Barcelona. But that's a CV there that only few players can have.
Oh, you'd be more than happy with that personally, wouldn't you, Tim?
Yeah, he wasn't part of the squad, part of the team in the final, but he was part of the build-up.
He's probably one of the reasons why they got to that final.
Yeah.
Great player there. And now we're going to look at the England squad for their games against Croatia and the USA this next week. They play Croatia not in the
United Nations. Yeah, but they're playing Croatia in an empty stadium for punishment. It's a Croatia and home game. And after a swastika appeared on a pitch in a 2016 Euro qualifier. So getting punished 3 years later.
3 players that are in the England squad: James Maddison, Mason Mount, and Jadon Sancho. They're 3 players that are going to make their debut for England. All 3 have futures, bright futures, especially James Maddison. I'm pretty sure Rio Ferdinand said he's the most talented player of his generation.
He's unbelievable. The step up from the Championship to the Premier League, we all know, is huge. He's hit the ground running. Jadon Sancho he's got the most assists in Europe's top 5 leagues, I'm pretty sure it is.
6 assists in 7 Bundesliga games.
And he's only started 1 or 2 games. He's unbelievable talent, and that's one that got away from Manchester City for sure. One that did surprise me was Mason Mount. That very surprising. The Championship player, Jack Butland's still in the squad. Very surprising that Southgate is going to the second tier, but he obviously sees something in him.
Well, Gareth Southgate said previously that I think only 30% of the Premier League now English players, and we know that they're not starting every week, so he needs to go down to the lower league to get these players because they're playing every week. Mason Mount, even though he's on loan at Derby, he scored 3 goals and had 1 assist in the Championship this year.
good return from midfield to start. But moving on from the younger players, a guy back in the fold, Ross Barkley. Good to see.
He's been really good for Chelsea.
Yeah, his game on the weekend was sensational.
Scored his first goal for Chelsea.
And claimed an assist. This was a guy that we thought was going missing last season. He struggled under Conte, but looks like he's finally found his feet in Sarri's system in a bit more of a free-flowing style.
And also, Lewis Dunk has joined the team after James Tarkowski left with an injury. And Luke Shaw as well, he's been released from the English side because of an injury.
Yeah, I don't know what the injury was. Manchester United didn't actually announce it on their website, but Ben Chilwell has been called up from the under-21s or the 23s with Jada Silva, another fullback, called into the under-21s fold as well. They see me
rolling 11 for this week.
What is it?
Well, we haven't changed from last week, so I'll just go through the squad that we had last week. We keep Alisson in goal, plus Kieran Trippier, Virgil van Dijk, and Vertonghen and Alonso, but Vertonghen most likely will be out of the squad in the upcoming games because of injury.
Yeah, Tottenham fear they might have him be without him for a couple of months.
Then in midfield, we've got Jorginho and James Milner, but he also...
Hamstring injury, so we'll have to make some changes after the international break where some players can stake a claim in the first weekend back.
Then we have Bernardo Silva, Pereira and Hazard, and I don't think Hazard's leaving anytime soon.
Oh, well, Hazard might be leaving Chelsea, if anything. Well, his comments this morning, he said he still thinks about joining Real Madrid. He wakes up and ponders it sometimes. He says he wants to sign a new deal, but then the Real Madrid move still sits in the back of his mind.
January, and they haven't scored for over 400 minutes, so...
It could be interesting. He is unbelievable at the moment.
And up front, we have Alexander Mitrovic.
Who didn't do much on the weekend. Glenn Murray's coming. Not many of the other strikers are really lighting it up at the moment.
And who's our coach? Our manager.
Emery.
Well, you know, that's a pretty good one.
Because Arsenal has had a very good start to the
season.
They've
won six straight games in all competitions.
Nine.
Is it nine?
Yeah.
You know the best part? They've won six straight in the Premier League and they're still fourth.
Because of those opening two games. Mm.
But he's done pretty well there. We're going to take a break now. And, of course, if you want to call us, you can call us on 99944999. If you want to talk about any of the Premier League teams or the Championship or any of the League 1 or 2 teams, you can also tweet us at EF_show or at FNR_radio. Welcome back to the English Football Show right here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia and around the world. FNR is actually celebrating their first birthday today, so happy birthday to FNR. Now, let's begin with the EFL and the game of the round. Leeds United taking on Brentford, 1-1 draw. Some controversial decisions, a penalty awarded, which let's say Leeds fans aren't happy with it, and they have taken to social media to create a poll or to get that
petition.
A petition to get that referee suspended.
Well, Pontus Janssen might get suspended for his comments. He wasn't happy. We talk about the Leeds. Well, he scored, but he wasn't happy. He was asked to watch his language by the TV presenters, and he goes, no, that's how I feel.
About the decision?
Yeah. Well, it was strange. I've seen it paid before where the goalkeeper takes a player out after an attempt on goal.
I think during the live play, it looked like a penalty.
Oh, 100%. In fast play, it was quick. But that's what people forget. The referee's seen it in quick motion. Ollie Watkins probably should have scored that chance anyway.
I think he should have. And there was also one in the first half, a free kick just outside the box against Pontus Janssen, which definitely wasn't a free kick. He was stumbling and he made contact with one of the Brentford players and it was awarded a free kick. And they were absolutely outraged by that one. And that one there wasn't a free kick. But Neil Mopay scored his 10th goal of the season to give Brentford the lead before Pontus Janssen scored in the 88th minute.
Yeah, well, Mopay become the first player in the four divisions to reach the double figures this season. He's been sensational for Brentford so far.
First time he was the captain of Brentford as well.
Oh, good way to mark the occasion. And he's leading from the front, which we always like to see.
And with Leeds, they've dropped from first to third now, and that's a lot to do with that is with the injury toll that they've got. We know that Patrick Bamford's out for 4 months with an injury, plus Kemar Roofe is out. Even Barry Douglas, who's been superb this season since arriving from Wolves, he missed the game and they had to play right wing in Dallas, play him at left back.
and that's never a good thing. But they're still in. They'll finish up there. They'll be all right. Over the weekend, we'll touch on Hull City soon, but Alex McLeish, I think it is, their manager, said that Sheffield...
Nigel Adkins,
that's one I'm getting really confused. Said that Leeds United, Sheffield United and Middlesbrough will all go up.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty obvious as well, that all three will be contending there. But with that Brentford match, Brentford have now moved down to eighth on the table. Do you still see them as one of the contenders?
There's still plenty of time, so if they have a good stretch of form, then maybe they can get back into
contention. Another worry for Leeds, Alioski, their right back, he was sent off late on in that match, so that's another player missing.
Luke Ayling.
Ayling, was it?
Yeah, Luke Ayling was sent off.
Ayling was sent off. That's another error there.
Oh, well, that was probably a needless challenge on the touchline too. It went through the back of the Brentford player and there was no need. It was tucked in. It was 90+4.
It's funny as well, Brentford's manager after the game, Dean Smith, said that this Leeds United team reminded him of Cardiff City of last season in terms of the way that they play without the ball, how they set up defensively. That's something that you wouldn't expect a Bielsa team to be compared to a Neil Warnock team.
Is that an insult? Because Cardiff, they've got a bit of hope in the Premier League now, but they're not the most exciting team to watch. Well, Leeds, in videos we've seen, they press. They're up in your face, but obviously there might have been a few tactical changes with these injuries.
Aston Villa, they sacked Steve Bruce last week after their two... they did lose 2-1 to Millwall following that game, but they did draw 2-2 to Preston North End once he was sacked. There was a cabbage thrown on the field in that game.
That was my Jabino.
We'll talk about that later on, but a cabbage thrown on the field towards Steve Bruce. He's been under pressure for quite a while now. They haven't received the results that they were expecting. They're 15th on the table. Was it the right decision to sack Steve Bruce?
Probably, because he wasn't getting a response out of the players.
Yeah, well, they needed... We've talked about them before, but the way that they play, it's old-fashioned football. And with the EFL transitioning into a more tactical league now, you can't rely on the old style. You've got to actually have some tactics. And Steve Bruce has even come out and said years ago that he doesn't care about tactics. It's more about motivation. And I don't think you can do that anymore.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, but Steve Bruce gone. They're too good of a squad to even be that low. They should be challenging for promotion with the players they brought in the summer especially. They stand out above other championship clubs. Like Brendan Rodgers, the Celtic manager, has already ruled himself out. He would have been great. Good character would have been on display in the championship. But Thierry Henry is the man, apparently, with leading outlets in the UK.
Yeah, Thierry Henry and John Terry as well linked.
As an assistant coach.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. Thierry Henry, a lot of people were questioning whether he'll be the right man for him because he's never had managerial experience. But I did hear on the Not the Top 20 podcast say there was a tweet from an Aston Villa fan and he said that Henry is the sort of manager, he's the sort of former player that would do well as a manager because he played under Arsene Wenger, who was a tactical manager, where you compare the ones that played under Sir Alex Ferguson. He was more of a motivational manager, and that's what we've seen with Steve Bruce and even Mark Hughes and Roy Keane as managers. But the players that come from the tactical side, as in Pep Guardiola, former players that are now under Guardiola, as well as even Pochettino, how he played under Bielsa, they're the ones that are actually the ones that have become good managers.
Yeah, maybe that's just the trend at the moment. That's something that could easily change. Maybe players are just getting smarter tactically, and they're easier to adapt to new surroundings.
Another former player that has been linked to the job is Dwight York. Dwight York, he says he wants to bring the fun back to Aston Villa.
That's just random. I don't know why you're worried about that, but even Stylian Petrov's linked to the job.
So do we think it's going to be Thierry Henry that will get the job?
Going by reports, he's in front and it's easy if he wants it.
And he was linked to the job in pre-season as well.
Well, I'd like to see Henry get a crack.
But it would be good to see him get a crack, but we know the Championship's such a hard league and it's hard to just start off your career in the Championship. But I guess we have seen Frank Lampard as well. He's also begun this season as the manager of Derby and he's shown signs that he has a future as a manager. But with Aston Villa, are there any chance of improving and returning to the playoff positions?
I'll say they'll finish mid-table in the end.
And that's not great, is it?
No, I wouldn't be happy if I was a Villa supporter.
Mile Jedinak, will he continue playing centre-back now?
Who knows?
On to our next topic, and that is...
the top five players in the Championship so far this season.
Well, who wants to kick it off? Who's got their top five?
Well, I'll start with whoscored.com and their rating based on minimum and appearances, because it's very hard to actually do this because there has been a lot of impressive performance. Surprisingly, at number one, a man we probably haven't mentioned on the show, Lukas Jukiewicz, I think that's how you say it, from Birmingham City, was in number one. Neil Morpay, who we mentioned before, was second. Oliver Norwood of Sheffield United, formerly of Fulham, was three. And Liam Cooper, the Leeds defender, was four. And then a man that you may remember, Ryan Shotton, in fifth.
Ryan Shotton, I can't remember him.
Derby County, he used to play for, but now at Borough. But a man I want to talk about. Mitch isn't here, and I'm really disappointed. Bradley Dack. He's a man that's been sensational. 6 goals and 2 assists from 9 appearances in midfield. What a star, and he's my career mode star too, so we're on the way up.
And there were questions at the start of the season whether he'll be able to play in the Championship, considering how good he has been in the lower leagues of English football. Last year, he scored 18 goals and had 8 assists in League One, and he's shown that he is capable of playing in the Championship, and maybe even in the future playing in the Premier League.
Well, if he continues on this way, he's going to knock on the door of interest. One that you guys may not have found was Joe Rondon from Swansea City. Just 20 years old and playing in defence, and he's made it quite an impressive start with Swansea fielding all the younger players in the Championship so far this season.
Yeah, some other players I got, Dwight Gale, 8 goals for West Brom, Bodvarsson for Reading, 7 goals, and also Jay Rodriguez has done all right.
Yeah, Rodriguez is the one that has excelled this season. He's always had potential, and West Brom purchased him for $12 million last season. He's already got 7 goals and 1 assist, and with his playmaking ability behind Dwight Gale, he's superb.
Oh, he's a class individual. Well, before he suffered a serious injury several years ago. Before that, he was in the England squad, and the sky was the limit. He was probably going to join Liverpool for all we know.
Well, Southampton purchased him for $7 million from West Ham in their first year in the Premier League, so he's always been highly rated.
Yeah, $7 million. How long ago was that? Probably 5-6 years ago.
Was their first year, so that was 2012, 2013.
Yeah, so $7 million back then is probably the equivalent of $15, $20 million now.
And back with Bradley Dack, he has been rumoured, West Brom are rumoured to be interested in him and could be putting in $20 million bid for him.
That's huge. For a bloke, I think Blackburn signed for very little.
Under $1 million.
What a bargain that would
be. Then we know Blackburn have financial issues, so that could be one of the reasons that they might sell him. $20 million, that's a lot of money for him.
But would he fit into the West Brom team? Like, he almost paying $20 million for a reserve if Jay Rodriguez doesn't get moved upside along front, alongside Gale.
Well, that's the problem, because you've got Jay Rodriguez in fine form, plus you've got Harvey Barnes as well. He could be going back to Leicester, that's what the reports suggest. Dwight Gale there. They even got Sacco, the former Crystal Palace player.
So he's only going to play
through
the middle.
And where's Houlihan?
He's only going to play through the middle because he's not quick.
They have conceded a lot of goals this year, so fans are questioning that decision and whether they should be. They're better off purchasing some defenders, because we know that they could score abundance of goals.
That's the mentality. We'll just outscore you.
Well, it's a great mentality for West Brom, because we know how stagnant they've been in recent years in the Premier League.
Oh, Tony Pulis, you give me nightmares.
What about another player, Timo Pukki, the Norwich City striker? He's from Finland, 5 goals this season, in his first season in the Championship, and he's helped them to 8th place on the table after they struggled last season.
He's gone a bit quiet in recent weeks, started the season like a house on fire, but very interesting signing at the start. I think very little was known about him when he came across to England, but he's made a more than positive start.
And he scored in 3 consecutive games. And I think this week he did receive a penalty. He didn't score the penalty, but someone else took it. But his work up front and allowing his teammates to get into the game is what you need from a striker.
Oh, that's what you need. Goals, goals, goals. And if he scores goals, you happily pay what you did for him.
And he's adapted well as well.
Yep. And an underrated player, Barry Douglas, dominated for Wolves last season at left wing back. And he made the move to Leeds United, which surprised us all, because we expected him to be playing in that position with Matt Doherty on the other side. But he's now playing at Leeds United. He's already had 3 assists this season. He's such a creative player at left back.
Oh, why not? It's turned out to be a good signing. Maybe Wolves just want to go with something a bit younger in that position when they brought in Johnny, I think it is, in the Premier League. So they stepped up in quality, and Barry Douglas thought, well, for my career, I need to take the step back down again.
And 5 goals and 14 assists last season. That's how good he is playing in that position. He did miss on the weekend's game with a hamstring injury, and that was a lot of the fans, the Leeds United fans, thought that was the tipping point, because he's probably the most important player outside of Akeem Aroof.
Well, maybe it is. Well, he's got the international break, another week to recover, but if that was his first game missed, he might miss the standard 3-4 weeks with a hamstring injury.
Hull City, they're bottom of the championship, and they are struggling on and off the field. There are reports that there could be a financial takeover, a consortium trying to buy Hull City, and it's the consortium is led by their former owner, Paul Duffin, who owned the club between 2007 and 2009.
Yeah, well, I was reading an article last night. Ihab Alam, the current owner, said at the start of last month that him and his father, who owned the club now, felt emotionally detached from the fans. He only lives 10 miles or something from the stadium, and he doesn't even go.
Well, it's been a few years. Even their last season in the Premier League, there were reports that they were going to sell the club.
Yeah, I think it was a German consortium or something was interested, but who knows what's going on at Hull City. It's real dark times at the KCOM.
I'm not sure if the fans would be interested in Paul Duffin returning to the club, because he did leave them in financial crisis when he did leave the first time. And there are reports that if he does take over, he will reinstall Phil Brown as the manager.
Phil Brown?
Remember what Phil Brown did in the Premier League?
Remember what Phil Brown did for Southend United, sorry.
No, but Phil Brown's the manager who, at halftime, got him to sit in a circle on the field.
Why not?
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that. That interesting tactics. I don't know how players would react with the big egos they've got.
He's got the headset as well in his ear.
Southend, the team that you want to talk about, Braden?
Oh, we could be here all day. The Southend Appreciation Hour. So the Shrimpers are four games undefeated all of a sudden. They score a straw with Oxford, which surprised me waking up to that result Sunday morning. Start of the season, you sat here and laughed at me and said they're in for a relegation battle. They've now moved up to mid-table, 4 points off the playoff positions after 12 games. Plenty can change. Some interesting times. Mark Oxley just come back from injury, but David Stockdale, do you guys remember that name from Fulham, the goalkeeper?
Yeah, didn't he replace Mark Schwarzer?
He might have, actually. Yeah. But he come in on an emergency loan when Oxley was out, and he was great. Oxley was crucial at the weekend, made a late save from, 3 yards out on the weekend to earn a share of the points while the Shrimpers hit the crossbar in the first half. One man I do want to talk about is new man from Scunthorpe United, Tom Hopper. Positive start, 6 goals in 12 games. I don't think you would be disappointed with that if you were Chris Powell.
No, you wouldn't be with that. Also, online, Bristol City defender Taylor Moore has also impressed there, and he has suggested that they could be in a promotion fight.
Oh, if they get in a promotion fight, I will have the time of my life. They might fly me over.
Do you think that they could fight for promotion?
I think Chris Powell's got them playing the way they should be. They're playing positive, but I think the biggest problem is they don't have the funding that some of these big teams in the division do, like a Sunderland, even a Doncaster Rovers, who have been down lower in the England tiers for a few years, but just Roots Hall isn't a big stadium. But I'd love to see them. They threatened a couple of years ago. Last year they threatened for a bit before finishing in mid-table obscurity, but stranger things have happened.
And even with Tom Hopper, as you mentioned, he actually got injured on the weekend. That's a strike. That's pretty bad for them, isn't it?
Well, it's all right. We've got Drew Yearwood, the youngster at 18, can play in central midfield for us. Simon Cox is a proven lower league striker. So Chris Powell's got options. Hopefully it all works out, even though he's been sent to the stands this year. So he's an angry man, which I like.
Still got Demetriou there?
Yeah, well, we won't have him this weekend.
Why is that?
Because he'll be out with Cyprus on national team duty.
Oh, and they're playing with the 5-3-2 formation, so a bit impressive, isn't it?
Oh, well, go on. Well, nothing wrong with two strikers. Get around it. Just don't play with them on FIFA. You've got to change straight to a 4-2-3-1 or something.
You know which striker they do need? Akinfenwa.
No.
Let's talk about Akinfenwa. We've wanted to talk about him all year. He hasn't done anything, but he has this week. He scored his 200th goal.
Yeah, well, nice header. He shared it on his Instagram. He shared his photo. I've never seen him. I think he loves himself more than Cristiano Ronaldo.
He was proud of his work. So all credit to him for scoring. But, hopefully more to come for him as well, some more goals.
He was one of the players of the season last year in League 2. He's now scored 3 goals and had 3 assists this season in League 1.
Not a bad return rate
for a 36-year-old.
Well, I like the big man. Bring him to the A-League. We thought Del Piero was good. Imagine Akinfenwa.
We'll be going to the games.
Oh, personalised. He'll be on the show.
Last season, 17 goals. Nigel Clough labelled him as one of the best strikers in the league.
I thought you were about to say in England. No, I was about to fall over. I can't believe that guy played football, honestly. He's not fat. He's just a real solid built man. How does he get around the pitch? I'll just lob it up. Tony Pulis would love him.
He's like the landscape version of Peter Crouch.
Ooh.
No, but he has improved. this season. We didn't expect, we thought maybe he might leave Wickham and stay, remain in League Two, because he's such a dominant player in League Two. We haven't seen him up in League One, and we know when AC Wimbledon went up to League One that they released him. So we thought maybe he might just stay in League Two.
Well, good on him. We love him.
36 years of age, he's like a fine wine and gets better with age.
Him and Zlatan.
Even Wayne Rooney, have you seen his stats for in the MLS?
No.
Well, we can talk about that.
He's got like 9 goals this season.
Even remembered how to score. But the breaking news overnight was Macclesfield Town decided to part ways with Mark Yates. But the strangest thing, I was just reading the statement from Macclesfield Town, that he was brought in the summer after they returned to the Football League. The club statement says, Mark was brought into the club during the summer and despite a plethora of injuries to deal with. So the poor guy has had to deal with injuries. They're on the foot of the table, haven't won in 12 games. So he's had injuries and they've said, nah, see ya.
Well, it's not easy for him, because if they've just returned to league football and with the injury toll as well, they don't have a lot of financial backing. What do they really expect? Unless there's something else that they're not mentioning there.
Well, obviously, I think it went from bad to worse when West Ham gave him a touching up.
Was it 8-0?
8-0. Smack them.
Oh, it's not that bad, is it?
I hope not. Hopefully, they'll probably get a response. They're 5 points off safety. It could be a long season for Macclesfield.
We're going to take a break now. If you do want to call in and talk about any of the Football League teams, you can call us on 9944 9999. We'll be back with our Aussie Watch segment as well as our JB nominee and our not award-winning. I don't want to say award-winning anymore because it has not been, has not won an award, but our not-so-award-winning quiz. Welcome back to the English Football Show. Let's kick it off with our Aussie Watch segment.
Yep, so some big news coming out lately. Matt Ryan, the Brighton goalkeeper, and Aaron Moy, the Huddersfield player, both not in the team, the Socceroos team, to play Kuwait. Replacing Aaron Moy is Barnsley's own Kenny Dougal.
Oh, Braden.
Yes.
Good to see. Two pythons going.
Obviously impressed during the training camp. Good on him. He's been good at Barnsley. He's playing 90 minutes week in, week out, pretty much. So he deserves a crack.
And credit to Arnie for picking him as well, because he could have gone for another option. But also, for Aussie Watch, Harry Kewell, 2 wins in the past week with Notts County. So that's 3 straight wins and undefeated in 5.
He's finally implementing a defensive structure at the club, because we know before that they were averaging like nearly 3 goals against. So he's actually changed the structure there, and it's not hard. It's not easy doing that in such a small, short period of time.
Yep. Quite a few Aussies played over the past week. Didn't really do much. They just did their job. But Ryan Williams for Rotherham, they lost 3-1 to Birmingham, but he had 2 shots on target, so a bit of an impact.
And he's still getting game time every week. Do you reckon he's any chance of making that Australian squad anytime soon?
He's got to be on the outside, just surely.
Yeah. Also for Notts County, for the under-23s, Josh Bingham, a former Mariners player. I think he may be on trial or a short-term move, but he scored on the weekend for Notts County under-23s.
That's a good one there. Hopefully he gets some game time there under Harry Kewell.
With Harry Kewell in charge, a fellow Aussie, he'll get quite a bit of a look in.
Hope so.
Also, another name that's come up, Cameron McGillop. I went to school with him, but
need to name drop, Tim.
Yeah, but a Birmingham under-21s or 23s.
Under-23s game at the weekend. Got a full game in.
What position does he play?
He featured. He's a striker, I'm pretty sure, or a midfielder.
I think maybe a midfielder. But he was on the books at the Victory, played half a game, came off the bench, mostly in the youth team, but he's gone over to England now, so hopefully he gets more of a look in.
Riley Wall wanted to get 90 minutes for form under-18s. They had an easy afternoon, 7-0 against Reading.
And Bailey Wright, you want to mention anything about him?
Well, I don't know where he is. He keeps missing squads. I'm not off the top of my head sure if he's in the Socceroos squad. He was in the training camp, I'm pretty sure. Missed out on the World Cup. Was the Bristol City captain up until last season. I can't imagine he's still captain.
And he was playing right back for majority of last season.
So I don't know what's happened. Was there a change of manager at Bristol?
No, they've still got the same manager.
I don't know what he's done wrong.
Well, if anyone does know, they can message us on our Twitter at EF_show and tell us where is Bailey Wright.
Might have to do some investigating because there's nothing coming up on just a Google search.
But for me, it's important that people speak about the qualities I bring as a footballer.
You are a twat.
All right, JB Noms this week. Who wants to kick it off?
I'll kick it off. So, Middlesbrough welcomed Nottingham Forest on the weekend. Nottingham Forest did the right thing, travelled, fans got there. So you'd think if you got some cheesy chips, what would that entitle if you ordered some cheesy chips?
I would say just a satay of
melted cheese.
Melted cheese on top.
Why not just a couple of cheese slices on top of your chips?
No.
Yes.
No. Is there photo evidence of this?
There is photo evidence. I will put it on out.
Did they just do that for the Nottingham Forest fans?
Not that I can't.
Or did they do it for everyone in the stand?
I reckon they would have just done it for the Forest fans.
It's disgusting.
What type of cheese was it? Edam or
Old English?
Old English.
I would have gone for a cheddar or something.
Well, Nottingham Forest got the victory, so in the end, they had the last laugh. Tim.
I'll go now. We mentioned a bit earlier in the Aston Villa game prior to Steve Bruce getting sacked, but he had a cabbage thrown at him. Now, out of all things you throw, why a cabbage?
It's probably the healthiest option, which Steve Bruce wouldn't eat.
Because he is a cabbage. No.
Well, that's got to be up there as the most unusual things thrown onto a football field.
The beach ball was the best one. But
what about the crisp chips thrown at Barnsley?
Well, there was another thing thrown in the Brighton game.
What about, do you remember the tennis balls thrown at Hull City last season?
Yes. Well, there was a photo going around. I don't know how true it is. There was a sex toy thrown onto the pitch at Brighton on the weekend.
No.
And the referee picked it up and walked off the pitch.
No.
Of course, we don't condone throwing stuff on the pitch.
No, we don't want to throw anything on the field. My JB nominee of the week goes to Mike Ashley, the Newcastle United owner. Now, there was a footage of him after they scored their second goal. He was sitting in the stand. It was his third game in a row that he's attended, which is a surprise because we know he's not a fan of the fans and the fans aren't a fan of him. But he took out his mobile phone. He's got one of those old Nokias, the 2003 Nokias.
Well, where's his money go? He's not giving it to Newcastle.
I think he really likes to play Snake.
Because he is one.
That's probably why he's got that phone still. But for a man that's got so much money, owns Sports Direct, why has he got one of those phones?
His real phone was probably charging in the other room.
Some fans on Twitter were saying it's one of those phones that you can get where it's got a dispensable phone number. One of those.
Oh. Stop.
We just want to know, Mike Ashley, why don't you have an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy?
I know it. I totally know it.
Quiz time this week. What's everyone's buzzers?
I'll go Borough.
I'll go Emery.
Well, Tim, you've got to start winning because Braden's going to run away with it again. You got to start winning. You couldn't hold on to the lead last week.
No, I've
you've learned from that experience.
I've lost the lead probably about 3 times in 5 shows. So I've got to get a move on.
All right, question 1. What colour is the Macclesfield Town home kit?
Borough. Blue.
Correct.
I had no chance there.
Question 2. Which team has conceded the most goals in the championship this season?
Borough. Ipswich Town.
Wrong.
Emery? Hull?
Wrong. Preston North End.
Oh, of course he puts that in because he's doing crew mode with.
Question 3. Are Crew Alexander in the top half or bottom half in the League 2 table? Or on the League 2 table?
Borough. Top half.
Wrong.
Emery, bottom half.
Correct.
They're 13th, aren't they?
They're 18th. Oh. All right, this is good now. Question 4. True or false? Newcastle United finished 3rd. In the 2002-03 Premier League season.
Emery, I'll go true.
Correct.
I was reading through that season recently and I remember seeing him up the top. So.
Mike Ashley wasn't in charge.
Question 5. Okay, you can hold on and you can win this. What's or you
score?
Can draw it.
Don't tell me the score.
It's 2-1. So the best option.
Let him win?
The best option here or for Braden is a draw.
Is this the last question?
Last question. Question 5. Name the team. This team were founded in 1882. In 1901, they became the first non-league club to win the FA Cup. They were the first team in the 20th century to win the league and FA Cup double in 1960-61. They were the inaugural winners of the UEFA Cup in 1972, becoming the first English club to win 2 different European trophies.
Emery? I've got two options. I'm going to go Nottingham Forest.
Wrong. They have collected at least one major trophy in each of the six decades from the 1950s to 2000s, an achievement only matched by Manchester United. They are in the Premier League and home of the English captain. Who's the captain of England?
Am I still in?
Oh, yeah. Borough. Tottenham.
Correct. How could you not know that?
I'll be honest, I was reading some stats on Twitter.
Tottenham Hotspur. What a stat that is, that they've won a trophy in each decade from 1950s to the 2000s.
And that's a legitimate trophy of not putting the pressure on, or?
FA Cup, League Cup, anything. They haven't won one yet in the 2010s. So
when was the last time they won the Premier League or the top division?
It would have been 61 or 62, one of those.
That's an interesting stat considering that they haven't won in ages.
We've got a few minutes left. Let's just talk about your team, Tim. Arsenal.
Before, we'll save them for next week, sorry. We'll touch on the Matildas quickly.
Oh, yes.
Play in England tomorrow morning, I think, 5 a.m. They've suffered a loss to France. They're without Sam Kerr. What do you reckon? Matildas going to beat the world number threes?
I reckon they're a chance. They're a good team, the Matildas. They're a chance of winning.
They're actually fun to watch. They're better to watch than the Socceroos.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. They got such one of the best players in the world in Sam Kerr.
Good players, good manager as well, Alan Stagic.
Well, who Sam Kerr, touching on her, nominated for the Ballon d'Or overnight, the women's Ballon d'Or. Hopefully she does get up, but there's some math being done. She's probably not one of the favourites, probably because she's Australian, we like to say, but that's good. She's Aussie Sam. That's what we love.
Well, she scored some magnificent goals, and I personally think she should win the Ballon d'Or.
Well, they slipped up to France, which is a bit of a surprise in the women's game, but they're heading into the World Cup next year. How far do you think the Matildas can actually go at the World Cup?
I reckon the semis they can even reach, maybe even be in the final, but the semis, I think.
Well, they've shown they can match it with Brazil. They've shown that they can match it with the US at the Tournament of Nations, which they unluckily lost not so long ago. But I'd love to see them, like you said, make the semi-finals because they're sensational and they're fun to watch. And I think it would bring a bit of... Australian football has probably been knocked around a bit in the past 12 months or so after everything that happened with Postecoglou. Then we had Van Marwijk, I forgot his name for a second, for that short stint. They did well at the World Cup, but I think we just need a settled period where we can enjoy it. Hopefully it starts in January when the Socceroos get down to business and defend the Asian Cup crown.
And with the international break on the weekend, we don't have any Premier League or Championship, but we do have League One and League Two. And in League One, we have some big games. We've actually got Scunthorpe taking on Peterborough and Portsmouth taking on AFC Wimbledon. Both of them didn't get results on the weekend, which means Portsmouth retain their top spot and Peterborough remains second. Got some other big games as well, like Barnsley taking on Luton Town.
Interesting matchup.
Even Oxford and Plymouth, they're two in relegation bound.
As silly as it sounds, that's almost a 6-pointer earlier in the season.
Well, Plymouth got their first win last week and they drew to Barnsley the week before that.
So they're running into a bit of good form. So
and we know what they did last season.
I can't see that happening again.
No. And even as well, Fleetwood, Shrewsbury, Stanley taking on Bradford City and Sunderland versus Blackpool.
That could be fun to watch.
That could be. And I think they'll be on BN Sport on the weekend.
Two former Premier League teams as well.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the EF English Football Show this week. We'll be back again Tuesday, 11 a.m. next week. So we'll catch you again then.